Blog Talk Radio.
Not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in. Once again, we are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and we do thank you for being a part of this hour. As we move forward, we'd like to let you know we're going to leave all of the mics closed. Normally, we usually have everyone to mute your phones, but I'm going to open up the mic only to those who are going to be sharing this evening, and that would be Mother Gloria and Dr. Suzanne and myself. So all these mics will be open. When the speaker opens up the mic, just hit the number one on your phone, and that'll let us know that, you know, you want to share or you have something to share on your heart, and we will open up the mics at that time. Amen. As we move forward, also, we'd like to let you know that you can archive any message that has been on Blog Talk Radio for the last few years. You can go into Blog Talk Radio, and then you would type in We Can Begin Again. Type in We Can Begin Again, and you can listen to this message or any other message that has been on. We know that Dr. Suzanne, my wife, has a wonderful message, spirit-filled message, this should I say, to share with us, and I'm looking forward to hear what God has on his heart. And also, you know, we'd like to thank you once again for sharing, and also we pray that you and your families are safe during this COVID-19 experience that we're going through. It's a time that's challenging as well as uncertainties. And, you know, we have to pray for one another. That is the beautiful thing that God has given us, the ability to pray for one another. Prayer is a powerful message, amen, not only to intercede on behalf of others, but it just, that's where we're supposed to be as the believers of Christ. We have those who are on our prayer list. We're going to name those off, and then after we name those off, you know, of course, the first of the year, we have Mother Gloria comes on, and she prays for those, amen. She is a prayer warrior. That's what she does 5 days a week. You and I, we may do it one day a week, maybe a couple of hours, if so, but she prays all the time. And if you ask for a prayer request, she puts it on her list, and she definitely submits it to the Lord on a consistent basis. So we do thank God for sharing her with us the first of every month to pray for those that are asking for prayer. Those that I would like to share is we have Bill from out of Cleveland, Pastor Robinson, and we keep him on our prayer list, amen. Pastor Nixon from out of New York, she has been asking for prayer for her and her family. We keep her on our list. There's Corey from out of North Carolina. We have Tina from out of Maryland. There is also, we have, I call her Flit, but it's Janetta. We have her on our prayer list as well. I say that because she's my cousin. That's why I call her for nickname. You know how that goes. So we have on our prayer list, amen, she's recovering. And we also would like to pray for all of the churches, amen, that are under this stress and this strain, that cannot open their doors, and they are just wondering how are they going to reach the people of God. They're using the media, social media, amen. But we know, you know, that God is in control of all of this, amen. And we're just praying that that the churches are able to do what God has anointed and appointed them to do, amen, during these times, and for those who are asking for prayer. My goodness, we have even funerals. There are only 10 that can be in a funeral. You can't even see your loved ones during a funeral. Amen.
They're doing funerals virtually, too.
Virtually, they're doing funerals, okay, right now. So we're going to, you know, and of course, you know, that once we come out of this, you know, things are going to change. There's going to be a new normal. So we have to pray, amen, and ask, you know, that God, we know that God is on the throne. He is a God who knows our every desire. So right now we're going to move on over, and we are going to connect you with Mother Gloria, amen, and she is going to lift our spirits in prayer. Oh, also, there are some other names we have on our list as well.
Okay, I want to add Richard Matlock, Keita Thomas, Elise, Elisa, Ricky Garcia, Cleo, Sherry, Deborah, Lisa, Shirley, Marnita, Patsy and Paula, Matthew Stevenson, James Manuel, Doris Hexell, And Pearlie, Jackie, and Norman are requesting prayer. And most of those are for health concerns. I also want to remind you and ask folks to please remember the children that are have been born to a financially challenged family and pray that they're able to access their instruction on the internet and pray for those children that are in traumatic and abusive situations,
mm-hmm.
that they're protected,
mm-hmm.
And that these children that are in financially strapped families, that they do not go hungry as well.
Amen, amen, amen. And if you have any prayer requests, you know, if you'd like to share them, you know, you can hit number one. If there's someone, you know, that's in need that you'd like for Mother Gloria to pray for, or, you know, you can just submit your prayer privately. Amen. God knows our every request. Amen. Okay, you'd hit number one if you have a name that you'd like to submit verbally, publicly. Mother Gloria, are you there?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm going to the Word of God. Taking this to the
Amen.
Word
we
of God.
We can barely
yes.
hear you.
I am here. Okay.
We,
okay.
We can
let
barely
me take
hear
my
you,
phone
Gloria.
Off. Of, okay, let me take my phone off of the PC. And, okay, is that better?
That is much better. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for coming on the first
okay,
of every
that
month
better.
And taking, you know, availing yourself to pray, you know, for those that are in need. We do thank you so much, and we thank God for what he has poured into you for the body of Christ.
Amen. Amen. It is indeed an honor and a privilege to be here to pray for all of those that are requesting prayer tonight, but I'm going to remind them, all of those that gave their prayer request, I'm going to remind them of the Word of God. No matter what you're going through, I'm going to Isaiah 53 and 5, and then I'm going to pray. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. I want to keep those that keep those in mind that have health issues and that are going through. And also, I want to remind them, and I'm going to pray to encourage all of those that gave their names, all the requests. I want you to realize that God knew every name. He knew every request before you even gave it. And he said in John 16:30, I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. That's what I want to pray for tonight, for all of those that gave their request that they will have peace. And he says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I want you to know we're going to have trouble in this world, but God said, take heart. He wants you to have peace. Every name that was called, every situation concerning the children, concerning your finances, concerning this virus, concerning the funerals, everything that you have put, your Heavenly Father already knows. And I'm going to go to the Father in heaven, and I'm going to pray for each one of you. I want you to focus on the God in his word. He said, Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thanks to God, he has not changed. Wherever you may be in your situation, whatever you're requesting, God knows your name. He knew your situation. He knew this coronavirus would come before we knew it. He knew that you would request prayer today. He knew. So it's going to be a blanket prayer. It's going to be a blanket prayer where everybody is going to be included. And I'm going to ask God to use me, and I would decrease, and he would come forth in me, and
then I would pray that everyone be touched, everyone be delivered, everyone be set free of all the fears and the concerns that you have, that we're going to put it at the foot of the cross tonight, and we're going to give it to our Heavenly Father, and the peace that surpasses all understanding, that when this is over, God wants you to have peace in him. He wants you to rest in him. He said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Yes. Heavenly Father, I come to you tonight saying, God, thank you for the opportunity to use me as a vessel, God, to come before you on behalf of your people. You know every name. You know the hairs on their heads, God. So, Heavenly Father, I pray that you stop by every household tonight. Stop by this radio ministry tonight, God, and touch your people. You know your people. You know we can't go to our churches. So I ask tonight, God, that you would encourage the pastors, God, to use technology, God. Use what we have. Use the conference line. Use Facebook, whatever it is, to get the word out there. And whether they know it, more people is getting the word for such a time as this because of what's going on. Encourage that pastor's heart. Let him not be discouraged, but let him be encouraged in the name of Jesus. Let him still keep continuing to give the word and encourage the people, but encourage him, God, and those children, God, that are in difficult situations, God, and they have child, their families are having to got children and they haven't challenged. God, you know all about our children, God. I pray today, God, that you would meet every need, every situation in the mighty name of Jesus. The parents and those that are taking care of them, God, let them know that you are there. You said you would never leave us or forsake us in the mighty name of Jesus. So I'm asking you tonight, God, do what nobody else can do, God. There's no failure in you. So bless those that are listening by way of radio, God. Let them know that our God is able, and you got them in the mighty name of Jesus. So I thank you, God, that I come just to encourage people to look to the hills for whence cometh your help. Your help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Don't look at the situation, but look at the God that you serve. He said he will keep you in perfect peace with the mind stayed on him. For those, God, that are facing, God, loved ones that have lost loved ones, and maybe they weren't able, or everyone was able to go to the funeral. But God, if they know you and a partner of their sin, they're up in heaven with you. No more sickness, no more dying, no more crying in the mighty name of Jesus. So encourage the listeners on the line. Let them put their focus on you, the one that made heaven and earth. And as the lesson goes forth tonight, God, as Dr. Clay go forth, God, Lord, everyone, let them receive that when they leave this broadcast today, no one will leave like they came, because you said you will keep them in perfect peace with a mind stayed on them. Now, Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing me to pray this. It's a simple prayer for people, God, who love their Lord, who trust in him. And God, as I get ready to close my prayer, I want them to say hallelujah anyhow. I want them to say thank you anyhow in the mighty name of Jesus. We're going to leave, God, being encouraged. I pray that they be lifted up. I pray that they be inspired in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Heavenly Father, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Be our strength tonight, God. Be everything we need.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, I pray. Now let's give God some praise. Because saints of God, it's in the praise. When you praise your way through, when you can say, Lord, I thank you anyhow. Lord, I praise you anyhow. I know, God, that you're going to be there for me, that you never leave me, God. And I want to thank you tonight. I want to praise you tonight. And when the praises go up, the blessings come down. So, God, we're going to end this prayer with a high praise of thank you, Jesus, for being you are. Let nobody be worried. You said, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Fear not, for God is with you, saints of God, and he will keep you. He will keep you in perfect peace. So don't worry about your situation. Lay it at the foot of the cross. Cast all your cares on him. Cares for you. In Jesus' name, I pray. And I say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you for that prayer, Mother. We do thank you for all your parents' ministry. We also like to add on the list also a young man that passed. His name is Cleveland Robinson. We used to call him Smiley. We are putting him on our list. He's passed today. Right. We're putting him on our list as well. His brother used to come on, Minister Robinson, and minister to us. So we're going to keep him in prayer, you know, during this time. You know,
yes,
so,
we will. And his entire family. And his entire family.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
We also want to say that Mother Gloria has an early morning Bible fellowship that she leads. And it's time of prayer. You know, we rise up early to meet it. Group comes on and prays and they sing, and there's always a good word as well. Mother Gloria, if you want to share your contact information.
Yes, it's the Call Unto Me Ministry. We come on 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, from 7:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. and under the leading of the Holy Spirit. And on Saturdays, every Saturday, we come on at 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. And so except for Mother's Day coming up on holidays, we usually take sabbaticals so the people of God can rest and come back fired up and ready to come back and pray all over again. And the number is 712-770-4035, access code 687-346, pound. Once again, 712-770-4035, access code 687-346. Now, if you have, like myself, I have T-Mobile, and so we have a backup number for those who have T-Mobile or Metro PC so that you won't be charged, and that's 206-541-6055. And that's the backup number, 206-541-6055, and you won't have a charge. God bless you. Thank you so much, Dr. Clay.
Praise God. I also want to remind you that the National March for Jesus is coming up, and my husband mentioned that last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, if you've never done it before, in different cities around the nation, they come together and it's basically a parade. And ours in Cleveland is usually like right down on Euclid, which is a main thoroughfare through the city. Actually, you can take Euclid all the way to New York from Cleveland. In the old days, how they would go. But, and people just say, come together and march for Jesus with signs and in prayer. Now, since we have the social distancing and the concerns with COVID-19, we're still doing the March for Jesus, the National March for Jesus. It will be on May 30th, 2020. You can go online and just put in the March for Jesus, all one word, .org, and get more information and register for your community. Because instead of a a large group march or parade, people are going to walk their neighborhood. So if you would walk with us if you would walk with us on that day, they'll have a time, and just so that they know, you can go online and let them know. And if you would let us know, too, if you're on, if you're representing your church, your ministry, or representing New Beginnings Ministry, also let us know so that we can just claim it. And we're just doing prayer walks. And I shouldn't say just doing that, but it's important for us to pray for our communities. As you walk by your neighbors' houses or whatever streets you want to walk on at that time, that you're praying for those families, that they are making it through the coronavirus pandemic, that their, you know, their needs are being met, that they're safe in the house, that they're healthy, that they're emotionally handling the isolation well, and that all is well in our neighborhood. It's forjesus.org, and you can register there. And remember, if you're going to represent New Beginnings Ministry, let us know so we can claim your street too as one of our prayer streets or whatever, wherever you decide to walk. We also want to pray for Pastor Miles, that he has lost his father.
That's 4 years ago. He's just grieving today.
Oh, that he's grieving today. And his father, you know, grief comes in cycles. And
yes,
there's no period that, you know, or a deadline on grieving. It comes in cycles. And when there's great love, there's great grief. Family as well, as they remember his father. So I welcome you to my kitchen table right now.
Praise God, amen.
Praise the Lord. And you all know, back in, I think it was February, I started a talk on praise and worship. And I just covered the area of praise and the things that we do with praise and what the word says about praise. Such as our word tells us that we should shout and, you know, come together, and that we should blow the trumpets, and that there's dancing when there's praise, and we enter his gates with thanksgiving, that we come with a thankful heart and we just have a good time. At our churches, we see examples of that, where we lift up holy hands and we praise the Lord, and different expressions. There's prophecies that go forth and whatever, and it's a time of encouragement and gladness and so forth. And then last time we were together talking about praise and worship, I talked about the different types of praise and, as well, all the way up to Baroque praise. Knowing that we're going to move forward today from praise to worship. And I'm going to ask if you, I want us to really interact with this, because we have different ideas on what praise and worship is. And I'm a worshiper. Now, I didn't say I'm a singer, so don't, my the one with the voice, Lord help me. And my voice is not the best. I can carry a tune, but not for long. And sometimes I turn it sideways. But I enjoy singing in worship. I enjoy praise and worship. I go to church. I'm excited to get to church for praise and worship. Praise and worship for me starts before I even get to church. When I was growing up, when my mother would turn on WABQ, and WABQ was the Christian station in Cleveland, and it was the Black Christian station. And so there was Denver Wilborn. He was a pastor who actually was from a neighborhood, and was it Hortense Crawford? I think that was her name. She was a area vocalist with a beautiful voice, and they would do the show. So we'd have the house, you know, praise and worship music or gospel music at that time. My mother listened to a lot of Shirley Caesar. So the music play it in the house. And that's in preparation for us to go to church to for praise and worship, to come together in the corporate worship and teaching and so forth. But praise and worship has changed. The ideas behind or with praise and worship is a little bit different now. So I want to take a few minutes, if you don't mind, and kind of dig in a little deeper on what praise and worship is, what it should look like, and what the Lord says that we should conduct praise and worship, because praise and worship is a part of our Christian life. Okay, regardless of your denomination, regardless of your race and ethnicity, praise and worship is important. Now, I want to say that the difference between praise and worship is simple, that praise is something that I can give anybody. I praise, like I just praised my husband, John Clay has the most beautiful voice. And I am his biggest fan, and I'm also his manager. So if you all need a soloist,
all right,
and I'll sign him up. Okay, but my husband has a beautiful voice. He has a beautiful speaking voice. I praise him because I acknowledge that that's his gift. That's something the Lord has blessed him with. I praise my grandchildren because of the way that they love me, because of the way that they bring joy into the house. I praise them because of how hard they're working in school. I praise them for their obedience to their parents, and I praise them because they love going to church and they love the Lord. They love the assembly and church. I praise them because of that. I praise the Lord for the way that our governor DeWine here in Ohio, the way he's handled this crisis with a very serious and purposeful way, citizens of Ohio, even putting notices on Facebook and on his page. Send him information because he needs to be encouraged. So I praise him for that. I praise God for what he's done in my life, and praise God for the way that he has blessed me, that I can look back and see his hand and how he guided and orchestrated every single area of my life, even when I was foolish and disobedient, even when I was and going the wrong way, that he was there nudging me back, putting things in the path and people in my path to help me to get back on the right way. And he's still doing that. I praise him. Praise is something that I can share like that with everybody. I can praise everybody. But worship is totally different. Worship is for God alone. I do not worship John Clay. I love
that's good.
Him. But I do not worship him.
Mm-hmm.
I do not worship my grandchildren. I love them. There's no love between grandparents and grandchildren. I love them, but I do not worship them.
Don't worship them. That's right.
Governor and our leadership in Ohio. I appreciate it. But I do not worship them.
Amen.
I worship God alone. Alone.
Mm-hmm.
Let me define worship for you. Worship is the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for God,
God
alone again. Worship is reverence. It's glorification. It's exaltation. It's paying homage. It's paying respect. Worship saying it comes from worship, W-O-R-T-H, because he is so worthy. He is so worthy. I give him the adoration and the attention that's due him. Worship is to esteem with honor, to place at the highest value, to bend myself over, to bow down, to lay prostrate, to acknowledge him that I do. Perpetual gratitude, never ending gratitude. Don't stop gratitude.
Amen.
At all. It's my willingness to want to mingle with him, to have be intimate with him, to give him back what he's given to me, that he loves me.
Mm-hmm.
He actually loves me. I picture the Lord when I pray, and I just picture the Lord calling me Susie, you know, calling me Susie because he knows me. He knows my heart.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me my personality.
My God, yes.
He knows my inner being. He knows my thoughts. He knows the core of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Of who I am, and he still loves me.
Yes.
Even though, in spite of all that, he still loves me. Perfect.
Yes.
And he still loves me. Worship is surrendering. It's surrendering. And in the position that we do at church in praise, is lifting our hands up, like giving up, lifting, holding your hands out. To point to the heavens. It's surrendering to God.
Mm-hmm.
Worship in spirit and song. I ascribe all credit for creation. All credit is ascribed to him for my salvation. All credit is ascribed to him for my existence. Praise God. I worship
you.
I worship.
Yes, God.
Okay.
We worship you. We worship you.
Praise God. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, I like to go through a little interested in culture, and I really, really enjoy studying the Old Testament and the reason that people do the things that they do and react to the way they do is that they come from. So I want to do a short cultural background. This is coming from, I just finished a study with a friend of mine. Actually, no, we'll be finishing this Saturday on John 4. We talked about the woman at the well. And the title of in that divine appointment that Jesus had with the Samaritan woman. So this is short, which I'm sure that you know the story. I have folks that are Bible scholars and more astute than I am on these subjects. The Samaritan woman was an amazing woman. She was a woman who had a poor reputation. She had been married 5 times, and she was living with someone. Living with another man. Okay. She was like on the outskirts of society, both physically, and she was on the outskirts of society as far as socially was concerned. So she was the type of woman that was a loner and would avoid being with the townspeople and the crowds and so forth. She was ostracized by her own people. She was, although she was ostracized, and although she was a woman of ill repute and had a reputation, a questionable reputation, she was very aware of the culture, not just how it impacted her, but the culture itself, that she knew the customs, she knew the traditions, she knew the rules. Rules of conduct, the rules of religious rules, the social rules. And she also not only knew the rules of the Samaritans, but she also knew the rules that applied to the Jews, their neighbors. She was aware of even though the Samaritans recognized only the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. She knew some of the things that the Jews believed, that about the prophets, and she knew about the prophecies that had gone forth. She even recognized that and told Jesus that the worship and the cultural experiences were different, that the Samaritans would worship at the mountain and the Jews worshiped at the temple. And, you know, she wanted to know what's up with that. And she actually brought that up to him to kind of throw him off, because he was getting kind of personal talking about her husband and her man that she lived with. So she wasn't a fool, in other words. She wasn't a fool. And we also have to think back to this time, that this was a time in world history when women were not revered. So for a man to even talk to them that wasn't a relative or someone, you know, you just don't do that. It's not proper. And it would not have been proper for him to definitely carry on a long conversation with her. But he did. Been proper because she was a Samaritan woman, he was a Jew, and she was beneath him. It wouldn't have been proper because she was a woman of questionable morals, and he was a holy man. It wasn't proper because she was female and he was male. It wasn't proper. Jesus does countercultural things, okay? Countercultural. That was the culture. Had nothing to do with her heart or his heart. The Samaritans were angry. They knew the Hebrew history and the law because they were half-breeds. They were Hebrews and Gentiles. But one of the problems with being Hebrew, having Hebrew roots and Gentile, is just like we see today when we talk about the Arabs, or we talk about mixed race people, that sometimes people don't receive you well because you're both, because you try to blend culture, okay? And there was a problem with that, and Jesus knew that. Praise God. So let me take you to our scripture today. If you hold on to all that information, the scripture today is coming from John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. And I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible to give it a little oomph. But a time is coming, and already here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit, that is from the heart, the inner self, and in truth. For the Father is such a people to be his worshipers. God is the source of life, yet invisible to mankind. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth.
Amen.
The focus is on true worshipers. So where are the true worshipers? The word says that those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
My God, yes.
So we're not the Samaritans and the Jews worshiping in spirit and in truth. What was the point that Jesus was making? Well, let's go back with a little more history, because this tells us how we should worship. But we know that the Samaritans worshipped on the mountains. The Samaritan woman told Jesus, well, the Samaritans worship on the mountain, Gerizim, the mountain of blessing, because that's where they believe you're supposed to worship. That's where Moses established his altar. That's where you're supposed to worship, period. And yes, it was socially acceptable for them to bring in idols. You know, Jesus looked at them and said, "Well, Samaritans, they do have spirit. They know you're supposed to worship, but they don't know like who to worship. They don't know the truth. They don't know. They haven't gone any further than the first five books of the Bible." So they're doing the ritual, they're going through the motions, but they've also brought in some other things that are socially acceptable, culturally acceptable,
mm-hmm.
but are not acceptable to the Lord.
My God.
And then there's the Jews. They're the Jews, and they believe, and the Samaritan woman reminded Jesus that you do say you only worship in the temple. So
mm-hmm.
they believed that Solomon in Jerusalem was the only place that you could worship. That was the only place. So they took care of their obligations and rituals at the temple.
Mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
say that they, but remember Jews, that they were legalistic. They followed very strict and continue to follow very strict traditions and laws.
Mm-hmm.
They had sacrificial requirements, that the sacrifices must be this way and that way, and this must happen and that may happen. They had an obligation of pilgrimage to come back to the city, to go to the temple to worship. And they had an obligation as far as tithing and offerings were concerned.
All right.
Okay. So they knew the law. They knew the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus had even told her that the Jews know, because salvation is coming through the Jews. And the woman, she even knew that because of the prophecy that the Savior, the Messiah, was going to come through the Jews. But Jesus is saying that, yeah, the Jews had truth. They had the knowledge, but they didn't have the spirit.
Mm.
My God, didn't have the spirit.
Mm.
Again, true worshipers, those who worship in spirit and in truth,
mm-hmm.
they worship in from the inside out.
Amen.
My God,
the
yes.
supernatural spirit. And with knowledge, knowing the truth, with knowledge, knowing who they're worshiping, knowing the
mm-hmm.
heart of our Lord, Father God, knowing that Jesus is the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing
that the Holy Spirit was sent to comfort us. Knowing that and respecting it and honoring it. Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Any questions or comments?
Praise God.
You hit number one. Hit the number one on your phone if you have a question.
Praise God. Number one.
Okay.
God bless you, Dr. Suzanne. This is Edna. I'm telling you, I like this. I like how you said the worship. That is special for God.
Right.
Special for Him.
Right.
You know, and that's what we need to do, to spend time, steal away like Jesus did when He went to the mountain. That was a special time with God,
mm-hmm.
you know, with His Father. That's what we need to do, you know,
mm-hmm.
and we need to bring things, and I believe in this COVID time, I believe God is molding us and making us, stripping us down, because that's what He's doing to me, to build me like He wants me to be. And for that, we
Amen.
Need to steal away. We need to make time for Him.
Yes, we do.
And,
yeah.
and as we do that, it will be a flow. We'll just do it naturally. It comes naturally. Remind me of those old songs. It will come naturally. It won't be no show. It won't be no.
You know
what I'm saying? It won't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It won't be no act. It will be for real, because God is looking at our hearts. I like how you said that. That worship.
Yeah.
You know, we can give God. We can give people our thank you and all this, but the worship.
The worship
Exclusive. It's exclusive. I thank
Amen.
You for this. You got to come back and give us more. Don't
Amen.
Think you're getting away.
Amen.
I know. And also, I just want to say how you started off with giving us the difference between praise and worship. Like you said, you praise your husband for his singing, and because that's his talent, and your grandchildren, you praise your grandchildren because they love you. And then you talk, then you went down to worship. It changed because he knows. You said he knows me, and I like the part where you said he knows the core. He knows the core of us, and how we do respect and honor and bend myself over. That was so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Bend myself over to him.
Yes.
Thank you so much. How you broke it down and you showed the difference. Because to be honest, a lot of people don't know the difference. They put the praise and the worship. They put it together as one when there's a difference. So I'm done. I'm done.
No, that's good. That's good right there. Yeah.
Sometimes we think it's the strongest song to speak to the church, and it's not. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just any.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's bring it, since we started talking about that, let's go on there that way. In contemporary times, the dominant way that our churches, our the body of Christ expresses worship is through song. It's with music.
Mm-hmm.
It's through song. But here's the problem, is that in some of our churches, praise and worship is looked at as entertainment. And wait to be entertained or served.
Mm-hmm.
That they're not participating in the praise and worship service.
Mm-hmm.
That they are. We are to go to church to participate and to give.
Yeah.
We go to church to participate and to give as believers, especially mature believers.
Mm-hmm.
We should go to participate and to give, to participate in the singing and the songs, whether the worship leader is somebody right out of Hollywood or somebody from or a kid from the from the high school. Voice is opera style or country western or like Whitney Houston or like the kids on the block. Okay, because the songs are not to you. Songs of praise and worship are songs to the Lord.
Yes.
You're
singing
the praise and worship service.
Yeah.
You're singing to the Lord. You're thanking him for his goodness. You're reminding him of his promise, what the word, the teachings that gotten. You're getting all that. You're singing the psalms back to him. You're singing the scripture back to him. And the worship time is when you're all, your heart to him.
Yes.
But oftentimes, folks travel through church hopping from church to church to church like consumers, shopping for the best praise and worship leader, shopping for the skillful keyboard player.
That's right.
The musician.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of music do they have? Or do they have music?
Mm-hmm.
Or the creative staging? Do they wear, do they dress alike? Do they have robes? Do they have, you know, they use lighting and light tricks and stuff like that? And they rate the church on whether their worship is good, whether their praise is good.
Yes, they do.
Rated. Well, I'm going back there because I had a good time. But it's not about your good time.
Yeah.
Praise and worship.
And you know what God does? He's looking at the heart of the man.
Yeah.
All that outward stuff, all that prayer don't mean nothing to God.
Yeah.
When the mother was praying today, that worship came from her heart.
More like the world. And I understand that memberships are changing and that the face of the church is changing. I mean, here we are today on talk radio? Would this have happened 20 years ago?
Would we be doing virtual
funerals and birthday parties and church services on Zoom and go to meetings? No, this is different. This is different. It's another tool that we can use, another tool we can use. But we still should not make it where we've been from our standards. And Jesus Christ is our standard bearer.
You said true worshipers is from the inside out.
From the inside out.
I really like that when you give of yourself from the inside out.
Yeah.
And when you said something about, you said, I don't sing, but you know, when I sing, I'm singing to my Heavenly Father. It's my form of worship to you. It doesn't, the key doesn't matter. What it matters is it comes from the inside out. You expressing yourself in worship. Not, I always say, and they know I say, in the key of J, J-E-S-U-S. So when you sing your song, you sing it to your Heavenly Father. So it doesn't matter. It's from the inside out. I'm done now. I am done.
So there's biblical, we have different denominations and many religious elements where people worship in different ways. Some are very quiet. Some are very demonstrative. Some of us stand still. Some of us dance. Some of us stand. Some of us, our denomination, sit. And that's fine. Where's your spirit, though? Where's your heart? Where's your spirit and where's your heart? But we should not go just to receive. We should go ready to participate.
That's right.
There's biblical teaching that may be different in different churches. So depending upon the teaching, we should break it down to the bare, to the simple truth. And the simple truth is, plainly, as Jesus said in John 4, that true worshipers are those who worship in spirit and in truth. Simple sentence.
Amen.
Simple sentence. True worshipers are those who worship in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Yeah. But you said God is looking for that. He's looking.
And I'm going to give you a couple of, I don't know where you are with this, and I'm just going to put it out there, not for debate, but an example of blended cultures with our Christian culture. We'll use Christmas and Easter. Well, those are the highest holy days, with Christmas being when Jesus was born, to celebrate the birth of Christ, and Easter to celebrate his resurrection, his death, burial, and resurrection, the Resurrection Sunday. And with those, we have commercialized and added idols to those holidays by adding Santa Claus and elves.
Okay,
and I don't know if I'm stepping on anybody's toes. And with Easter, and let me go back to the Santa Claus and elves. And we tried to make it okay by saying that the candy canes on the tree represent the shepherd's canes, and the stripes, the red stripes of the candy cane represent the stripes of the blood of Jesus. I've heard that. Some people will put a crown on the top of their tree to represent the crown of thorns that Jesus had, or a star to say, well, that's the Star of David. You can say those things if you want to, but the truth of the matter is that those are idolatry, okay? And that's, I'll leave it alone. Easter, the same thing with Easter, with the eggs, and some people want to call them resurrection eggs, but there were no ducks and bunnies at the cross.
What?
Okay. There were no ducks and bunnies at the cross. There were no Easter baskets. at the cross, okay? So think about the blended cross. Are we doing the same thing that the Samaritans were doing? Think about it. Jesus wants us, has told us that we must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. So you can wrap him with that, and if that settles with your spirit, that's between you and Jesus. So why do we worship? We worship because he's worthy. He is so worthy. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. In Luke 4:8. Worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by you will they exist and were created. Revelation 4:11. We worship him because he's our creator. We've come to worship him. We bow down before him. We kneel before the Lord because he's our maker in Psalm 95. All nations shall worship him, shall come before him. And during this COVID-19 season, all nations coming around. That's Psalm 86.
You better say it. That's right.
All to glorify his name.
You better say it.
We worship him because he is holy. We exalt the Lord our God. We worship at his footstool. Holy is he in Psalm 95. God desires a relationship with us. He wants to interact with us at all times. We don't have the luxury that Adam had of being able to walk with God in the garden in the cool of the day. But he walks, he's with us. He is always with us. He loves us.
Amen.
He loves us. The Lord is good to all of us, and his mercy is over all that he has made. Psalm 145. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him.
Yes.
Who have been called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28.
I like how you emphasize that.
Lord, our passion is gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Psalm 86:15. Worship is the major theme of our salvation, of the redemptive history in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only, one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Why do we worship? What kind of sacrifice is that? The ultimate sacrifice. We worship him because we know that when we grieve, In Revelation, the depictions of what heaven is like, it's a time of worship. If the angels are worshiping him,
amen.
They bow down, they cover their faces, they cover their feet, they're worshiping him. Worship is commanded. We are to honor the Lord our God. We're to worship only him. And make your promises in his name alone. Do not worship other gods, any of the gods of the people around you. If you do worship other gods, the Lord's anger will come against you like fire and will destroy you completely, because the Lord your God, who is present with you, tolerates no rival. He's not in a competition. He's not going to be in a competition with the football game. He's not in a competition with the television. He's not in a competition with your finances. Don't put the Lord at a test. Jesus told Satan, worship the word that it is written, to worship the Lord your God and serve him only. In Matthew Matthew 4:10. Psalm 96, give to the Lord the glory, do his name, bring an offering, and come into his courts with thanksgiving. And Joel 2, we're told to blow the trumpet, to go on a fast, a sanctified fast, to call the assembly to worship him. In Revelations 14:7, it says, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of the waters. I tell you, with this quarantine, I've been pretty good with it. Like I had said before, for a person who has a introvert personality, I'm okay staying in. I'm okay with my little activities. I read a lot. I knit. I sew. So things like, I'm okay with that. So I can spend hours, you know, doing those. But there was one day that it wasn't a panic attack, and I was still kind of anxious, praying, and I thought about the whole world. I was thinking about the children's song, he's got the whole world in his hand. And it's like, Lord, you do have the whole world in your hand. I thought about during this COVID-19 season that there's no escaping it. There's no escape. I can't get in my car and drive and spend a weekend with my sister to get away from it. John and I can't get a ticket. The best vacation we ever went on was to Aruba. That was a lot. And we can't do that. Things are canceled. We're doing things differently. He's got the whole world in his hands. He created it all. Doesn't he deserve honor and praise and glory? Doesn't he deserve our worship for that? But some folks are reserved about sharing it. What is acceptable worship? We're supposed to worship the Lord. In fact, let me give you a scripture. Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. Hebrews 12:28. The Christian experience is one that should prepare us for acceptable worship. What is unacceptable worship? Unacceptable worship is superficial and insincere worship. Worshiping, going through the motions. We used to say, fake it till you make it. So you don't feel like raising your hands, just raise them anyway. Okay? Superficial, insincere worship. Heart's not. Unacceptable worship is worshiping idols, worshiping false gods. Unacceptable worship is worshiping God, but doing it in the wrong way. Have you created something and made it Christian? Have you created something and you say, well, God doesn't mind? Thank God, do you think that the only time you can worship is at your church, at the altar? This is a challenge for that, for folks who think like that, or that it's only on Saturday or only on Sunday. There's a guy that I went to school with, and I had sent him, Sister Edna knows that sometimes when I get a good word or when I'm doing my worship here at home, I'll share a song that may have been on my heart or that I, you know, had been worshiping on home. And so I sent this classmate a word, and he is a Seventh-day Adventist pastor. And he sent me back a message, and I guess maybe I'm too ignorant or or slow to be upset about it, but that he sent me back a message saying that he told me that he doesn't worship with Sunday worshipers. He's a Saturday worshiper. The Sabbath is Saturday, and that he doesn't want to hear from folks that are Sunday worshipers. And so I kind of laughed it off because the word, if I send a song, you know, or before I post a sermon, it's not about the day that you give it. It's whether it's the truth or not, regardless of what day, what time, you know. And so I kind of laughed it off with that he felt that way. But that's okay for him. That, you know, he believes that we worship the same God, but it only on Saturday and only in a certain way. Okay? But God doesn't like that. That's unacceptable. That's unacceptable because he didn't say that. Coronavirus, folks are doing their virtual services online and through using Zoom and GoToMeeting and Google Hangouts and Duo, all these different tools. Some of us are doing service on Sunday, but some folks are also listening to the word on other days. Bible studies, or people have Bible studies on different days, different times. And your worship does not have to be at church. Can we not worship at home?
Amen.
Do you have a prayer closet? Yeah, I worship in my car. I have a good time.
Just like that pastor who, Seventh-day Adventist.
Driving down the road in my car, worshiping. Is that Pastor Miles?
That was me, Rice. It's like that pastor,
right.
Seventh-day Adventist. But he says he doesn't worship with Sunday worshipers. But anyway, we have to worship like Christmas. There are people who praise God and worship on Christmas. But anyway, it should be not just Christmas or Easter. It should be every day of the week, every day of the year.
Amen. Amen.
You don't select just one day.
Amen.
I'm going to be a Christian and act as a Christian. That's something you do every day of the year.
Amen. Acceptable worship is hypocritical worship.
Amen.
To talk about, well, say one thing but do something else. To include rituals, legalism, a spirit of religiosity, to be judgmental, to be performance oriented, not spirit oriented, to worship the man, and not God, worship the singer, the praise and worship leader. It's unacceptable worship to restructure your service and your worship, your praise and worship to please man. That there's some churches that won't sing songs about the blood because they say that's too gory. But that's part of our culture, our Christian culture. That's part of the word. And if we're teaching, we should be teaching about the power of in the blood of Jesus. The consequences.
Amen.
There's consequences for unacceptable worship. First of all, if you're worshiping and your heart's not in it, if you're singing a song or praying and your heart's not in it, you don't have the spirit, you don't have the knowledge, you're just singing a song. It's
That's
not
right.
Right. There's punishment for unacceptable worship. And in the Old Testament, there's examples of death. The punishment being death for unacceptable worship. But what is acceptable worship? Let's move on. Acceptable worship is caring, truly caring for others, mm-hmm. having mm-hmm. a heart for God's people, praying for our leadership, intercession, like Mother Gloria, interceding for the saints, those that are in the church and outside the church, in the body and outside the body, having a heart for the poor, having a heart and want to serve the folks that are challenged, may have challenges, those that are sick and shut in, those that are ill. That is acceptable worship. Acceptable worship is walking in righteousness. Like my grandmother, we called her Nana. Nana used to sing, "Walk in the light, beautiful light. Somewhere the dewdrops of mercy shine bright." Didn't we have somebody sing that a couple weeks ago? So walking in God's light, in righteousness, walking in holiness. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. To evangelize and intercede, to tell folks about the glory of God, to talk about, to share the good news. That's worship. With the right heart, with the right spirit, knowing the word, a true understanding of the word, with proper teaching, to lead a tranquil and dignified life, a life of virtue and godliness, to have an attitude of gratitude, to suffer righteousness, to do the right thing no matter what, to not be afraid of being countercultural like Jesus.
Mm.
That's worship. To be pure and clean inside and out. That when we pray, that we ask the Lord to forgive us our sins of omission and commission, those that we have forgotten, those that we've tried to cover up, those that are blatant and out there, to forgive us, to show us what we need to deal with, to remove it. Spirit me, praying in the worship in the spirit and in truth. In the spirit means living a spiritual life, that we are spiritual beings having a human experience, to be born again, that we are spiritually alive,
Amen.
Continuously praising him, always having the praises on our lips.
Yes.
To worship God and to acknowledge him in season and out of season, when things are going our way and when they're not. Worship should not be limited to where you are, who you are, how well you sing. Worship should be free, that we give, that we share. Acceptable worship. Oh, wait a minute. Is worshiping with our whole bodies, with our whole being, that we're fully engaged. And I'm going to go back to the music because praise and worship is our most dominant form of, with music is our most dominant form of worship that most Christians, especially for in corporate situations, but to not be aware of, to lose your awareness of the people that are around you when you worship, that when you worship, it's just you and the Lord, that you don't even hear or feel anyone else around you, that you've really entered in, and you have to go purposefully with intention, to try to press into him, to completely focus everything that you are on him,
mm-hmm.
to be transformed and renewed for him, fully engaged in truth, to have a true heart, that you believe what you sing, that you believe and receive and accept the word, that you're open to teaching, that you're sitting under good teaching, and you're learning and studying the word, that your worship is intentional, that it is sincere, that you're worshiping to have a one-on-one audience with you. It's just you and God, that you're genuine, you're authentic, that you're doing it according to the word, that you believe the gospel, that you're saved, and that you're denying yourself and you're glad to lay out and surrender to God. What are the consequences of worship? The consequences of true worship are blessings and favor. The consequences of true worship is being an example and a leader. And it's at those times when we quiet ourselves and the Lord speaks to us and talks to us and gives us our assignment. You see, God is not interested in your song if it's not a song to him. You're just singing. He is the source. You have to remember that he is the source, and the source is so much more important than the resource.
Mm.
He's our source and supply. So I'm not going to worship my car, but he's the one that gave me the car. I worship the Lord. Again, praise is what we do, but worship is for God alone, and that's what God receives. Your worship must be a priority, both privately and corporately. We must have a hunger for worship, an urgency to minister to the Lord, that you can't wait to get there. For me, sometimes, like especially like raising my kids, when everybody was going to be out of the house, I couldn't wait to get home so I could get in my prayer closet. And the kids would hear me often, but they know mommy's in there with the Lord, you know, leave her alone. And I'd be praying and singing and crying and dancing and just having a good time. Just having a good time. But there was an urgency because I had an appointment with him, a divine appointment, an urgency to be with him, to sit at his feet.
Amen.
I want to quote John Piper, and my husband is telling me we're running out of time, that together the words spirit and truth mean that real worship comes from the spirit within and is based on true views of God. Worship must be engaged, must engage your emotions, and worship must engage your thoughts. It's a heart and head thing. It's a heart and head thing.
Amen.
Your emotions and your thoughts. It's all of it. It's not about how it makes you feel. First Peter says, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
1 Peter 2:5. So we should continue to build ourselves up in the word, continue to grow in your knowledge of the things of God, continue to pray, continue to give, to continue to intercede and to share, and continue to praise and worship the Lord. There's a song that by Clint Brown called Alone, and I don't know if we have time. We don't have time to listen to it right now, but if you would go to wherever you get your music, access your music, and just put in Clint Brown, Alone, and it's such a sweet song, a worship song, because it's to God and to God alone that we worship, period. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you so much for this time. Do we have any comments?
Excellent program in every aspect of the word, and taking that in and putting it into action is key. praise and worship, being grateful, but also remembering we're teachers and we have to utilize the skills and the gifts that God has given us and demonstrate that, because people are watching us as teachers and not only just listening, but also by our actions. Thank you.
That's right. That's right. I enjoyed this, and I'm glad that you didn't stop at 8 o'clock. This was very, 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 very good. And what I got out of it and what you're saying comes down to, in a nutshell, our life should be a worship. And just like the brother said, you know, what we do, what we say, our life should represent Christ. And we should be his, basically, and I'll put it like this, his trophies in the earth. We're the one with his spirit. When we go out, they should see us shining and representing the kingdom. You know, I thank God for this worship, praise and worship lesson that you gave us today. Takes us deeper. More needs to hear this. Y'all need to go on Facebook Live. This was good, Dr. Suzanne.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Praise God. Praise God. I hope the Lord is satisfied. You know, I want to, I was convicted. Because I've been interested in praise and worship and the dynamics of praise and worship for some time. And
beautiful.
A couple weeks ago, he had me do a duo with him. You all know that I'm shy. And like I said, I carry a note sideways. So John had to do a duo with him. And as soon as we got off, I was asking him after the recording and everything. I asked him, you know, was I okay? Was everything okay? Was it, you know, are you sure? I don't think I think such and such. What do you think they're gonna say? I mean, like rapid fire like that.
Right.
And then the Lord reminded me that song was not about me, that the song was not even folks that we were going to be singing to, that it was a song that was to be sung to him.
Wow.
And so I asked God if I didn't ask the Lord, and I should have gone to the Father. It's as that dramatic. And so I, you know, I'm still learning. I get in my flesh. So I pray that this teaching this evening is pleasing to the Lord. I pray that it is. Thank you.
Amen.
Are there any more comments before we close out? Well, I'd like to thank my wife, Suzanne, for taking time. I've done a lot of study to share this with you. The Word of God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And that's why we come together to increase our knowledge. We all have a gift. We all have something to share. And that is vital with the body of Christ. We all have a gift. We all have something to share. And with the word that was received today, is we have to be reminded that we are to have reverence for the Lord. What is reverence? When you're in awe, when you honor, when you have a deep respect for something or someone. And that's basically what it's all about. It's not about us. It's about God. So once again, we do thank you for coming. May God bless you. We love you. But God love you. Make sure that you stay safe. We want to hear.
Thank you.
No matter what you've been told, it's not just for